Bibles with me to Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. At the outset, I want to emphasize that the scripture is always clear in telling us what our commandments are and what we are responsible to do. God does not give commandments that require a theologian to explain it to you. He gives you plain, simple commandments so that you know what you're responsible to do. There'll never be anyone that will stand before the Lord and say, Lord, I believed your word and I read your word, but I just couldn't understand it. The Bible is a book of clarity. The text that I've read in your hearing, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, is very plain. Therefore, we understand what the Lord is calling on us upon us to do, and he wants us to know what he wants us to do. Now, it so happens, and it's true in many cases, that the text that we're studying and other texts in Scripture, false teachers, false prophets, and false churches have confounded the meaning. And so we need to dispel the darkness that men have cast upon this particular text. And we have to do that before we can get the light of it. We got to get out of our minds false ideas and put the plain truth into the text so we understand it. This text is used in this manner. There are preachers, and literally thousands of them, and they say, you believe in God, don't you? And most people will say, yes. Well, they say the scripture says that all you have to do to be saved is just repeat these words, God be merciful to me, the sinner. Or if you call on the name of the Lord, because whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then they will tell people, you just say these words after me. And they will say, God be merciful to a sinner. They will tell an individual, now I want you to pray with me, and I want you to pray these words that I'm saying, and these words will ensure that you will be saved if you say these words. And they come to this text that we're studying this morning, and they say, don't you believe what the word of the Lord says? Well, you know, we're almost all, everyone's going to say, yes, I believe the Bible. Well, it says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How do we answer these false teachings concerning this doctrine? Well, I want to preach this morning on calling on the name of the Lord. And I hope that through this message, you will understand the truth and be forewarned of all the error that is taught on this text and others of a similar nature. The first thing we shall consider then is calling on the name of the Lord and what synonyms Scripture presents for this same idea of calling on the name of the Lord. Now note that it says, for whosoever shall call. You know what calling means. Calling means to hail someone with your voice. If you've ever heard an animal in despair, that animal will call. One time we were on vacation and we stopped at a rest area, and I can't remember if I heard the kitten first or one of the kids did, but somebody heard this kitten, and it was small, and it was crying for all it was worth. It was calling for help. That's what calling means. It's not just a name. Something. It is a call that an individual makes for help. And that kitten was calling for help, and the kids found it, and we got it around there, and we gave it to some people, and they took it. But that's the meaning of the term. The term call means to entreat or to call upon someone for help. And if you've ever heard somebody that's been hurt seriously in an accident or in something, you know what a call is like, and you know that it will come to you directly. Now, the synonyms of calling are spersed throughout the scriptures, and we can see them in such terms as believing. And it's in the context here that we have believing referred to, because it says, how shall they believe on him? In the 14th verse, how shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? You don't call on somebody if you don't believe in him. And so believing is a synonym for calling. So is coming to Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the same thing as calling. And then there is also trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. He that trusts the Lord is calling upon his name. And also seek the Lord while he may be found. Seeking is a synonym for calling. It's the same process that's going on, and also following him. Those that follow Jesus Christ are calling upon him, or do call upon him. Paul here is plainly in this text quoting Joel 2 and 32. So let us go back to the Old Testament and see the source. In the book of Joel chapter 2 and verse 32, the scripture says this, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Now let me remind you what most of you already know. When you see the word Lord in your King James Bible, and we don't say that because the King James is the only version we can use, but I want you to know this device. When you see the word Lord in the King James Version of the Bible, and it is L-O-R-D, all in caps, it means Jehovah. That's what's in the original. So literally, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of Jehovah shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. So get in your mind now that Paul is quoting Joel 2:32. This is where he brings forth his message. Now let me give you a couple of other examples of the use of this. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2 and verse 21. And now this is Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. And listen to what he says in verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I would remind you that he is here speaking of Jesus Christ. Notice in the next verse, ye men of Israel, hear these words of Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did in the midst of you, as ye yourselves know. And then he goes on to say he was delivered, and therefore he is the Savior. Get that connection. Jesus and Jehovah are one. Jesus said he and his Father were one. He said to Thomas, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That declares the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice also in John chapter 3 and verse 15. This is our Lord speaking to Nicodemus, and he says, and let's read verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's the same thing as calling on the name of the Lord. And so we have this doctrine established that calling is a synonym for believing, for faith, for trusting, for coming to Christ. Now, secondly, let us look at the term whosoever. You note in our text that it says whosoever. If you go back to Joel 2:32, you will remember it said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This means that anyone who hears the gospel of Jesus Christ is designated and can come to Jesus Christ if he calls on the name of the Lord. The thing required is that he call, and that his calling is as a sinner in distress. This is not just calling like you might call to someone when you knock on their door and you call to make them hear you. This is calling for a specific purpose. It is calling for salvation. It's calling unto Jesus Christ as the Savior from sin. This is necessary because this call that Paul is speaking of, that Joel spoke of, is a call for salvation. It's not a call about distress. It's not a call about friendship. It's a call for salvation. Therefore, those who never have a need, those who never see themselves as a sinner, those who never feel that they are condemned, never call. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thirdly, Paul is here then referring to lost sinners. He's not talking to people of a general nature. He's talking about specifically to people that are sinners who need to be saved. A sinner is one who has sinned, one who has violated the law of God, and the law of God demands and declares that all sinners must die. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, spiritual death, eternal death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And you receive this if you call on the name of the Lord under those terms. Everything that we as sinners do is polluted, and we must be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's the only way that we can be saved, is to call upon the name of the Lord. You dare not look to yourself. Let me show you a few verses in Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. That's me, that's you, and that's everybody. But the problem is Many people never recognize that they are sinners, and they consequently never call. There is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. We ought to seek after God. We ought to call on him, but we don't do it of our own nature. And he tells us why in verse 12, for they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. And then he goes on to tell how their throat is an open sepulcher. They've used deceit, and the poison of asp is under their tongues. And he goes on and on all the way through to verse 20, spelling out this need of man, that we are lost and ruined and we need to be saved. Only Christ himself was free of sin. Every other individual in the world is a totally depraved sinner, and he needs this salvation that's only given through Jesus Christ. Only Christ and his righteousness can save us from sin. Fourthly, this calling of the text is a calling from the heart. This is not a general call, but it's a specific call. It is the call when someone really needs help. No other call is ever heard in heaven. Heaven pays no attention to the insincere call or the call that comes only from the lips or from the head. If it doesn't hit you 18 inches lower, that call will never be heard. It must come out of the heart. This is the call of faith. Notice with me in verse 9 of our chapter, Romans 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that is, that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. This is the call of faith. Notice he goes on to say, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Again, in the 12th verse, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call or all that believe on him. And then the text, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then verse 14, how shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? Faith then is essential, and it is a calling from the heart. And men, when they call in this manner, are praying from their lostness, their total depravity, their condemnation, and they call out, Lord, help me. But many never pray at all. They never call on the name of the Lord, but those that do, who call from the heart, who call in believing, who call in faith, they shall be saved. That's the declaration of Scripture. The Scripture is saying here that an individual that calls on the name of the Lord in faith shall be saved. Christ always responds to those that call on him in this manner. That is, he never says, I don't hear you. Well, I was in the Marines in boot camp. We used to have to go up to the drill instructor's hut, and there was a board there with a rock on it, and we had to pound on that with that rock on the board 3 times and scream to the top of your lungs, sir, Private so-and-so would like to speak to the drill instructor. You know what he used to do? He'd be sitting inside in his office, and he'd say, I can't hear you, and you've got to speak louder. And sometimes that would go on for 5 minutes. The Lord has never done anything like that to any individual. When an individual calls on the name of the Lord from the heart, the Lord instantaneously hears and responds, and we're saved by His grace. Nothing, however, is ever given from the throne of grace where there has not been a calling of the heart. If you seek me with all your heart, the Lord said, ye shall find me, but not without the calling of the heart. We recognize then that the calling is out of a heart that indicates election. God's elect people, somewhere in their lifetime, they call with all their heart and with all their soul. We recognize that those who are chosen to salvation are also chosen to call on the name of the Lord. You're not going to call on the name of the Lord if you're not chosen. But if you call on the name of the Lord, you are chosen. Grace makes us call, and then grace blesses us with an answer to the call. In the next place, those who call on the name of the Lord are called by the Lord. Those who do not call on the Lord are those that have no real interest in Him. They're not paying attention. When you hear somebody calling, and they're not calling your name, you don't pay attention to that, because that's not you. So we have to recognize that when we call on the Lord, we're to call Him. We're to call Him directly, and we call His name specifically, and we know who He is, and we believe that He is who He has said He is in His word, and that He will do what He said He will do. These things that I'm expressing seem to the world as foolishness. I don't call on the Lord. I'm not interested in the Lord. I heard a man on a thing the other day, and he was saying that he didn't have any responsibility to the Lord. He did anything he wanted to. There wasn't no rules. There's no law. You do whatever you want to do. That's the way the world thinks. But it's not true, because the Lord has appointed a day in which He will judge the secrets of men according to the gospel, and all these things will be brought out and be judged according to God's law, and it will be very strict. Let me give you a couple of examples. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says this: for the preaching of the cross, and incidentally, that's 1 Corinthians 1:18. The cross doesn't mean the wood on which Christ was crucified. The cross here is the theological doctrine of what Christ did on the cross, what He accomplished. For the preaching of the cross, the word of the cross, the doctrine of the cross, the theology of the cross, is to them that perish foolishness. It doesn't mean a thing in the world to them, and they don't listen to it. But unto us who are being saved, it is the power of God. That's because the individual believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he calls unto Him, and he is saved by Him. Also, in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. When an individual is living on the natural plane, he's beneath those things of God, doesn't hear them, doesn't pay any attention to them, doesn't believe them, doesn't worry about it, doesn't think about it, doesn't concern himself about it. He goes ahead to say, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual, now here's the other side of the coin. He that is spiritual, he that believes, he that calls, judges all things, yet he himself is judged by no man. Let me also give you a couple of other passages. These individuals that never call on the Lord have no faith. You know, the idea floats around. Everybody has faith. And it's just a matter of where you put it that counts. Is that true? Well, let it be true in the way they talk about it. But that faith is not saving faith. You can believe in a lot of things. You know, in Germany, almost the whole population believed in Adolf Hitler in the beginning. They believed in him. They had a lot of faith in him. They thought he was a wonder worker. But that faith didn't save, did it? In fact, it tore the nation down, destroyed it, ruined millions of lives, even of those that lived, not to mention the millions that were put to death. Always understand, only faith that's in Jesus Christ is acceptable. I don't care how much faith you've got. If you think you've got faith, it doesn't make a bit of difference. You can have tons of it. If it's not placed in Jesus Christ, it's absolutely worthless. It's like taking a wooden nickel into the bank and expecting them to accept it. They won't do it. Notice with me, Hebrews 11:6. This is what the scripture says. But without faith, now this is God-given faith, spiritual faith, true faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Notice also with me in John 5 and verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I might give you many other passages. But let us notice also in the next place that Christ saves all who call on him or come to him. His ability is not limited by man's circumstances. It doesn't make any difference if you're Jew or Gentile, that if you're young or old, if you're rich or poor, if you're a greater sinner than others, God never calls out any because he's a greater sinner than the other. If so, that old thief on the cross wouldn't have had a chance. But that dying thief, at the end of a wicked life, looked to Jesus and he called on him. And he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus instantaneously responded, today you'll be with me in paradise. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This promise then is very sure. This is not an iffy thing. This is not a thing that sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't work. I hate that kind of thing. I want something to work, don't you? Well, this promise is very particular. Paul does not say you might be saved if you call on the name of the Lord. You notice that? He doesn't say that at all. He says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He does not say that it's a possibility that you might be saved if you call on the name of the Lord. But he says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This calling on Jesus Christ indicates that an individual has salvation. It's not to obtain salvation, but it's because he got it. And that's the reason he calls on the name of the Lord. There's no question here that salvation is tied to faith. Faith is the instrument by which we receive it, but faith doesn't generate it or make it to be. It's the gift of God, and it's given by the grace of God. Whoever believes on Jesus Christ is saved. It's a present thing. You've got it the moment you believe on Jesus Christ. This is not future, but present. The context affirms this meaning. You notice in verse 9 of our chapter that he says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised thee from the dead, what? You have a potential of being saved? You have an opportunity of being saved? No. He says, you shall be saved. Whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. No difference, he says in verse 12. Same Lord is over all, rich on all that call upon him. So the context makes our text stand out in very bold relief, because it's both before and after saying that if you believe on Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Whosoever shall call in faith, in believing, in trusting, in coming on Jesus Christ shall be saved. That is what the text is declaring. The believer then is saved. The individual that calls on Jesus Christ is saved. He has a righteousness. He has that security where he will never be put to shame. He'll never be cast out. And he is saved because of the riches of Jesus Christ. Christ has an amazing abundance of gifts to give to everyone that calls on him. And those that do call on him, recognizing him as their Savior, shall be saved. And the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. He never goes back on his word. He never says, I loved you once, but because you've done this, I don't love you anymore. You know what that is? That's the way of sinful men. It's not the way of Christ. He loves us with an everlasting love, and he will never cast us away. Now, in conclusion, let me give you some questions. The first thing I have to know when I come to Romans 10:13, am I a sinner? No one else has anything to do with this verse of Scripture. If you're not a sinner, don't you pay any attention to Romans 10:13 or any other of those kind of passages in the Bible. Doesn't concern you. God commands all men everywhere to repent, but those that don't recognize they need it never hear it. Am I, secondly, a condemned sinner? Well, the law of God says I am. The law condemns every sinner. The moment the law of God is broken by an individual, they are condemned. And you know when we were condemned? We weren't condemned when we sinned when we were 5 or 6 years old. We were condemned when Adam sinned in the garden. We got it right then. That was our nature. It was in us when we were conceived, and we've carried it with us all the way, and we've still got it, and we will have it as long as we live, even if we're saved by the grace of God. Only when we're glorified are we going to be done with that old sinful nature. So yes, I am a condemned sinner, and I recognize it by the grace of God. Do you? Then the believer is saved because of the riches of Jesus Christ, of who he is, of what he is, what he has done. He went to the cross to pay the penalty of those given him in the covenant of redemption to save. And he took those sins away by his own righteousness and his own blood and his own life. And therefore, everyone who calls on the Lord Jesus Christ is saved with an everlasting salvation. Now, I have only to ask this. Have I ever, I'm talking about in my life, called on Jesus Christ according to Romans 10:13? I can answer for you that if you have, that's how you were saved. And if you ever called on Jesus Christ in that manner, I don't want you to ever have the notion that that was a one-time thing, that it happened back under 30 years ago, 40 years ago, whatever. And I don't ever do it anymore. No. Calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is a perennial exercise every morning, every day at noon, every evening, at bedtime, even in the night, you will be calling on Jesus Christ. That is the call of a sinner who believes on Jesus Christ. And it is a call that is always answered by the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you.